Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Ransom Notes. Frank McKay here with the author of Ransom Notes, wonderful book that everyone must get. Ransom Notes, the full title is Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. Catherine Ransom is our host each and every week. We encourage everyone to binge listen to everything that we've done on Ransom Notes so far, and prior to that on Breaking It Down with Catherine as a guest. Now as a host, I'm very proud to be her co-host and co-pilot for the new year that has just woken us. And we say goodbye to 2020 and say hello to 2021. And I know everyone's saying good riddance and everything else, but a lot of good things happened in 2020. So we don't have to, I think, feel completely bad about it, but it is nice to look forward. Catherine Ransom, how are you?
I am just fine, and Happy New Year's to you, Frank.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. And it's just,
you had a wonderful New Year's Day. We sort of missed some of the parades and some of the fol-de-rol that has been associated with the arrival of a new baby year. But we had a good one here. It was quiet at our home on New Year's Eve. But we had a wonderful dinner and watched a little bit of TV. And people our age even managed to get to bed before the ball dropped in New York City.
Yeah, I fell asleep at 11:30, and I just beat out my wife. I mean, she fell asleep before that. We're not big partiers anymore. I mean, a normal New Year's Eve for us, what we've been doing is, you know, we couldn't do it this year, of course, but what we usually do is we'd invite friends and family to a Chinese restaurant in our home area here, and we'd treat everybody to a nice big dinner and have a nice nice thing, and then everybody'd go their own way, and we'd do that, you know, somewhere around 6 o'clock, and this way we're beating the, you know, possible. Look, let's face it, there's some folks you know that are rushing to get some places, and maybe folks that have a drink or two in them. You want to get off the roads anyway. It's a little you know, people could be dangerous driving. I mean, others, you know, not us, but
no, of course we would not be. We would never be dangerous, but that's good to get off the roads. And part of it is, I think, as we get older, we need a little more sleep, and repetition of the same thing that we've done a number of years becomes a little less exciting, maybe. So, but we had shrimp cocktail at our house, and then we had a salad course, followed by salmon that had an orange sauce on it.
Wow.
And broccoli that was steamed, and a baked potato. And by that time, we didn't even want dessert. So it was, you know, reasonably healthy celebration.
Yeah, see, that's nice. I mean, that right there, that sounds like a special meal. That's not a normal everyday meal, right? It's a shrimp cocktail. When you say shrimp cocktail, I guess you could have that every day, but we don't. When shrimp cocktail appears at our house, it's usually a special occasion.
Absolutely. I agree. But I think you mentioned that we did welcome in a new year, and many people have reflected on 2020 as really not a very nice thing to happen. And certainly none of us are excited about 2020, and we all have experienced down parts of it. We've had friends that, you know, had problems, and businesses, all kinds of things. But in some of the writings that I've been doing, I've really been encouraging my listeners and friends throughout the world, literally the world, to concentrate on, but let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's at least stop and remember, I know good things have happened to you. And I modeled for them, and I believe we've talked about some of these on previous meetings and recordings, that this year, 2020, I had knee replacement, which went very well, and I was playing golf and driving very shortly. I had open heart surgery in 2020, and I'm still alive to talk about it, and as mean as Henri, and Henri as I ever was. And then as I got away from the health issues, I thought, you know, what else am I really, really appreciative of? And I think this year encouraged me to, as I wrote ransom notes and communicated, to try and even be more personal, to be more kind, more thoughtful, to help people realize that they had a place in the world to be helpful to others. So I'm thankful for this opportunity that I have both to talk with you on your program, as well as I send out ransom notes to about 400 people every week. And, you know, that's a praise. Not everybody has that chance to communicate with. I know that's not a huge audience.
That's a lot, though. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's more than we have in our house.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe you have 400 at your house, but we don't. So I encourage people to send me some of their positive thinking. And I've accumulated a little list. And if you were predicting, my friend, what would you predict might be one or two of the top things on while we are really thankful for 2020 list?
Well, I think on a personal level, when you ask people what happened to you, there's always going to be a birth of a child or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew or somewhere in there, birth of children. The other thing is surviving it. And I don't know that that's one of the things that came up. But yes, things were tough. But every once in a while, you hit a rough. You hit a rough, right? And you and to survive it means that you hit yourself out of the rough. And I'm not a golfer, but there's sand traps, there's water traps, there's all types of things that you come across. And to get out of it, to me, is a big thing. So I would think that's there. The other thing is people got married in 2020. People
did they really?
Yeah, I'm sure, right? They got married. They had children. They went on trips. They wrote books. They released books. They started radio shows and podcasts, and they reached new people, and they've met new friends and new people, and all types of things. So I don't know what. Did I hit on anything that anybody mentioned?
Absolutely. I would share when you said marriages, I read about one or on Facebook or someplace where this couple was to get married. They showed the picture. She is in a second floor story at the window. He and the minister and five family members are down on the ground floor on the outside of the building. And they are performing the service with her inside, and he's clear outside, two floors down. It was so funny. But it just shows that if love is really there, you're willing to go through all kinds of obstacles to make it happen. And I'm sure that this couple is no different than many others. Some went ahead and had simple weddings to eventually, when things open up, try and have a second wedding, or at least the fellowship and the service and the fun and frolic that also accompanies the serious part of a marriage. But one of the other big things that kept coming through as a strand in the people who responded was the use of technology. And right now you and I are using that, but Zoom and related pieces of technology where you're allowed to see the other members of the conversation, you're allowed to interact at appropriate times, question, dialogue, and reconstruct in a partial way the opportunities where relationships are built as well as problems are solved and discussions are carried on. I think we need to really thank the technology people and the Lord, because I think he may have had a hand in it. I don't know. That Zoom came to the forefront. It was just I know some of the real techie people had it some time before, but it was just sort of beginning to awaken in the hearts of us ordinary technology people. And yet, it's been a godsend. Along with that piece of technology, I think many of my comments that I received is how quickly churches took advantage of virtual means of sharing the word on Sunday when face-to-face opportunities were closed down. They all tie together. They're the technology people. And I know our church, for one, if it had not been for some young people who weren't experts in technology and sharing virtual online services, they still came forward, did the best they could, and helped our ministry staff present sermons and Sunday worship almost as soon as the shutdown started. And I know that our church was not the exception, because, you know, you talk to other people. The technology people, the technology process and progress has been one of the great joys, sort of a hidden joy, of 2020. But then there have been some funny ones. One person emailed me and said, well, my baby cat got rid of her ringworm, and now she's going, and she had will to live. I thought, well, okay. But there are chuckles in life, aren't there?
Yeah. And that is obviously a good thing, surviving that. I mean, all of what you just said is wonderful and, as always, thought-provoking. Let me remind folks that are joining us midway through to binge listen to everything that we've been doing, and you're listening to Ransom Notes with host Catherine Ransom, Frank McKay here, with the author of Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor is the full title. Get the book, everyone, and binge listen to everything that we've been doing. Frank McKay here. Once again, more importantly, Catherine Ransom. You mentioned about technology, and often during hard times, and you mentioned Zoom, and that's I don't think I used Zoom before 2020, and it's really closed the world a little for me. I mean, I've used FaceTime and different things like that, but Zoom is something that really has caught fire during this pandemic. And again, the Civil War, you're in the home of Lincoln, right? Springfield, and a city that had a lot to do with Lincoln. 1860 to 1865 was maybe one of the toughest time periods ever for certainly for the country. I mean, it's the toughest time period, brother against brother, and all the loss of life and everything else. But the technology, obviously, what came out of the end of slavery is the most important thing, of course. And out of those dark years, that happened. But also technology. You talk about the train travel became a real serious thing. The technology that was created to fight on both sides created things that we used in regular life, and the quickness of the travel that ended up happening, ended up saving people's lives afterwards, and still to this day. By the way, just one little quick note there, not to talk about war or whatever, but in 1800, somewhere around Napoleon's time, his army moved about as fast as Julius Caesar's army did around the time of Christ. And if you think about it, not much changed in 1800 years. But in the Civil War, both sides, both armies, moved 10 times faster than Napoleon's army. And it was because of the technology, the steam engine, and everything that was put into motion. So these things that happened during a horrible time, and maybe for dark reasons, ended up making things easier afterwards. What do you think, Catherine? will happen because of this. I think we might not see as many handshakes anymore. We might not see the hugs and the embraces and the casual kisses. I'm not saying we're going back to curtsies and bowing like George Washington and Napoleon's time. You know, I'm not saying we're going to see that, but we're going to see more elbow bumps maybe and fist bumps and things like that. But maybe the handshake is something that's going to be a casualty of coronavirus.
It's hard to know what and to predict a year or so from now, right? For at least the rest of this year, I'm sure you're absolutely right, because there still will be so many of us that have not received any kind of protection. It's moving at a slow speed, and we tend to become impatient. And even as an 85-year-old, I keep thinking, I should be nearer the top getting a vaccine, but there's limited, and I certainly know that the medical profession and other frontline people need it before I do. I don't quarrel with that at all. But I know that in all tough, especially times of war, it's amazing what is created for the military then suddenly has great ramifications for private and public life. And that's happened during the space shuttle time and also. But I think another change may happen. I don't know. It's certainly one of the things that the people who responded to my query, and that is a closer relationship with their family. Suddenly they couldn't go everywhere. They couldn't be with all people. But many of them figured out ways to draw closer to their own personal family, whether it was small family gatherings or the Zooming. In one place, it was a grandmother whose daughter needed to work. She could do her own work online, and she had the privilege of taking care of her grandson and getting to know him as a baby. The families, I think, took care of each other more. Another one had a granddaughter who was really suffering some great challenges with drugs and suddenly needed more support. And the family came to her route, and she seems to be making real progress. People also started praying a little more specifically, several of them said. One person even read the entire Bible on a program. It was a program she'd purchased or gotten free, but she completed the reading of the scripture because she had more time, just like lots of people have read books that hadn't read books for a long time, and the jigsaw puzzle industry has been frantic to keep puzzles coming forward, and people are delighted for that. Some people have taken to walking and looking at nature and recognizing how important the deer and the birds and the trees are to things that they just taken for granted. People stopped and paused because you had time to do that. To me, that's one of the great things that sort of came out of all of this time of seriousness. Yeah. I think I stopped and paused just a few times myself.
Yeah, I think it's important. I don't know that I have done that and paused or reset so much in my life that I have now. And just amazing. Catherine Ransom always gets me thinking, that's for sure. And you're listening to Ransom Notes. And again, binge listen to everything that we're doing here. But it is a reset. And I think some positives. I'm an optimist, like you're an optimist, Catherine. So I think a lot of good things are going to have materialize that we just haven't seen yet. We were talking about technology, and we were talking a little bit off mic about a picture, a certain picture, and you brought it up in your latest Ransom Notes, and I thought it's an amazing picture, but it has to do with technology too. But it is a thought provoking, whether it was natural or whether it was created or whatever. Do you want to explain that picture that we're talking about?
Yes, and sometimes it's harder to explain a picture than to look at it, but the picture came across my screen of an elephant in Africa walking beside the elephant was a mother lion, and the elephant had his trunk curled up, and in the curl of the trunk was the baby lion. Apparently, according to the original information I had, the elephant recognized that the baby lion was getting very tired trying to get to the water. And certainly in Africa, at times, and I've been there several times, there are seasons of the year when very limited water is available easily, and animals do cluster around the water holes. And in fact, if people are considering traveling, that's one of our favorite times to travel, when it's warmer, but the animals are closer together, so you have more of a chance of seeing a variety, and we've been so welcome. So I wrote this piece about this elephant helping, and I came up with, you know, three or four points that were, I thought, really appropriate. For example, this pachyderm was taking on the service role, recognized that he needed to be a helper, that we all need help. And Ephesians, the scriptures even tell us that in everything I did, I showed you by this hard work that we must help the weak. Paul recognized that we cannot be selfish. And I think that's one of the things that's also happened during this containment period that we've learned that we have to help each other, but in new ways. Secondly, I think that mother lion had to really trust that elephant to let it hold, or him or her, I don't know whether it's a male or female elephant, hold that baby. And aren't there times in your life when we have to trust? We have to believe that someone is trying to help us, but that we always have somebody who cares for us, and of course that's the Lord. Then my third point was, we're not alone. We have to be a partnership. This mama lion needed the elephant. Maybe the elephant even needed, I don't know how much feeling elephants have, maybe it needed the feeling of being helpful. I know I function much better when I have an opportunity to try and help somebody. And Philippians, we find that Christ is suggesting that we have love and humility and compassion for others. It's a great goal for us as we move into 2021. And then really, really bottom line is that all of this helpfulness is not for money. It's not for recognition. It's because we love our family, or we love our friends, or we love someone in trouble. And sometimes we even need to love people that we don't particularly care for, because God is love. Well, I wrote this. We ran some notes out, and then I had this incredible email that came back, Frank.
Yeah.
It was not good news, because this couple loved the article so much that they decided to Google more information. And in this day and age, nothing is a secret. And they found out that this picture was not a real picture. I was calling it the photo of the year as far as love is concerned.
Yeah.
Evidently, techie people know how to pop pictures of baby lions into the trunk of an elephant. And so it was a doctored up picture.
Wow.
But rather than cry, I decided it's still a good message. But it's sort of disappointing.
Yeah. I don't know. The point is still there, right? And, you know, it ties in with the idea of technology in general. I'll give you a quick thing, if you don't mind. I was in Central America maybe it was 2 years ago now, maybe it was 2019, and I took a trip across Central America. I hit everywhere except Belize, just simply because it wasn't practical to get there. But I went on a bus, and I was alone, and I figured I wanted to see how the people, the common people, the I don't mean that to be disparaging. The regular people of Central America travel. I wanted to talk to them. And even though I don't know much Spanish, one of the things I do, just like you do, I check out wildlife everywhere where I go. So I ended up going on one of the layovers that, you know, we had a day before we had to get back on that bus. It was called Tika Bus down there. And we went to a jungle. It was just me, and I took a cab driver there, a guy named Ray, and he knew about as much English as I knew Spanish, so it was interesting getting there. And we ended up going to this jungle in the corner of El Salvador, which is a small country. But I had heard about this, and I had read about this, and I didn't know whether it was a setup. It was a little scary. It's a scary country and all that. I ended up going into the jungle there when they let us in. It was it was like protected by gates, and you had to do, you know, a password or something happened, and you had to pay to go in there. And I had no idea what to expect. I ended up going into the jungle. Somebody drove me in, and they wanted to show me a man named Michael. Michael is actually a strong man of faith. He was it was very heartwarming what he was doing. He had a special relationship with the monkeys in this forest, and he was staying there morning, noon, and night because a baby named Lolita, a baby monkey, her mother died a week after she was born. She fell on her head. You know, they swing from these high trips, high treetops, and the mother died almost instantly from a head wound. And they were worried that the baby would not survive. So this man, Michael, who lived 10 miles, and he only drove a bicycle, 10 miles away, took time, and he took care of Lolita. Now, these are wild monkeys, by the way, out in the wild. And I have video of this, and she was still tiny, but she was about a month away from being released to the other monkeys, the wild monkeys. And we had to stand back. Myself and the cab driver had to stand back while we saw Michael do his thing. And he did this. He had this ritual where he banged and he yelled, and then the monkeys would come out of nowhere, and they would be there. And we had to back up because you don't know how the monkeys are going to react. But the mother monkeys, the lady monkeys, the female monkeys, would see Lolita every day, and they would go over and they would embrace her. Well, one of them did, and they went over, and she kind of gave her a little hug or whatever. So this was probably who Lolita was going to end up being raised by, but it was amazing to see. And he was living in this little tent, this guy Michael. It's amazing that I found. I'm telling you, I wish I could take everyone who's listening to this there to see this, how heartwarming it was. And Catherine, I'll send you the video of Lolita and Michael. Ooh. Just an amazing story that I wanted to cover. You got me thinking that. And again, you know how you got me thinking of it? From a doctored up photo that somebody who knows how to put a baby lion, which I don't know how to do, into the trunk of an elephant on, whatever, photo shop or whatever. But that is what you got me thinking about. You got me thinking about Lolita once again. You always do that. You always seem to have a story that brings out another story or something. You're very gifted, I got to say. And again, everyone listening to Ransom Notes, I'm hogging the mic here for a moment, but Catherine Ransom, absolutely wonderful. And please get her book. And again, Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. And again, binge listen to everything we've done here on Ransom Notes and before on Breaking It Down. Catherine, last thoughts on 2020, 2021. Well, not last thoughts on 2021. We'll be talking throughout 2021.
Well, I hope I'm still here for at least a couple more weeks. You never know. I would just sort of finish up your conversation, your topic just a moment ago, that we need to continually remind people and ourselves that the world to function appropriately, and as I think God wanted it to, is that we have to be considerate and have to be able to help each other, that it is not a one-person show. I feel sorry for people who are either so afraid to ask for help and reach out for help, or they're so bashful that they are reluctant to reach out and help somebody else. And I try to remind people that reaching out sometimes can be very private, can be very unscary, because, and I suggest it sometimes for, just for fun, you drop a box of cookies on the front door of somebody's house, ring the bell, and leave. If you, you know, because there are people, I enjoy meeting people. The Lord gave me that kind of an outgoing personality. But I'm also wise enough to know that everybody is not like that. But that doesn't mean we can't help people. Behind the scenes, quiet lifting of someone else up is what we need to do. All people need to do for others. And to me, that's one of the bottom lines of 2020, but also one of the goals for 2021. But I would just close with one thing. I had some surprise things that came in the mail on Christmas cards, and I'd share one.
Oh.
Someone knew that I had had some heart problems, and so they decided to send me three recipes for heart healthy diet. And it included these things where you put vegetables and or fruit in with coconut milk or peanut butter, and you smash it all around. But every one of the rest, and then somebody else sent me one. I don't know. They must have thought I was really unhealthy. But the surprising element was Popeye's favorite food, spinach.
Wow.
And so we went out to the store last night, and we bought fresh spinach. And either later today or tomorrow, I'm going to get up courage to try and mix this spinach with fresh raspberries, strawberries. I don't have coconut milk, but I can use my regular skim milk. And I don't know what else I'll throw in it, but apparently, from what I'm gathering, you can throw anything into the blender and call it a fruit drink or a vegetable drink, and I'm supposed to be more healthy. So, listeners, use your best judgment. We can either be healthy or not healthy, but I'm going to try this drink.
What a great gift to get. I mean, surprise gifts, and that's a thoughtful one. I mean, you know, to get recipes, and especially keeping in mind that heart healthy recipes. Did you get any other surprise gifts?
Yeah. I mean, I have to pick it out, and maybe the audience wants to help me. Somebody wants to buy me a new updated phone. I'm sitting here with an iPhone number 6, and I believe we're up to 12s in the company, and I need to know where in that number between 6 and 12 is the best place for an old lady to stop, but who also likes to take pictures. So one of the features I know of as the iPhone moved forward was improving the camera. So have them email me at karansom@aol.com sharing what should I ask my friend to buy me in the telephone business. That would be a good challenge for the audience. I like that.
I think it's fantastic. As always, you leave us with things to think about. And again, just wonderful. As always, Happy New Year to you and to yours. And Catherine, wonderful, as always. Thank you very much for sharing.
Happy New Year to you also.
And to all of you. We know you have a lot of choices. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And again, Ransom Notes is what you've been listening to. We encourage you to binge listen to everything that we've done here together before and since Ransom Notes. But buy the book, Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. The author is your host each and every week. Proud to be her co-pilot, Catherine Ransom. is your host each and every week, Frank McKay, signing off. We'll see you next time on Ransom Notes.